Proverbs 22:7 carries a grim warning about debt. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender. Hi, I'm Rob West. Nowhere is that more true than with student loan debt, now just over $1.75 trillion. But you don't have to be a part of that statistic. Today, I'll talk with Howard Dayton about how you can avoid it, and then on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, it's always a joy to welcome Howard Dayton back to the program. He's not only the former host of this program, but also the founder of Compass Finances God's Way and a great friend. Howard, delighted to have you back with us.
Great to be with you, Rob.
Howard, you've written about student loan debt in the past, and you've come across some numbers that should make anyone think twice about falling into that trap. So why don't you start there?
Yeah, sure thing. It's really stunning. According to one survey, college graduates are now spending a whopping 18% of their salaries on student loan payments. And get this, 60% of them expect to make payments on their student loans into their 40s.
Wow.
But it even gets worse, Rob. The survey also found the average student debt for millennials is more than $41,000, and a third reported being clueless as to their loan interest rate. And what's more surprising is that many aren't willing to adjust their lifestyle to pay off their student loans more quickly. For example, less than half of those surveyed were willing to cut what they spend on eating out and entertainment. And the last big discovery of the survey, one-third of the grads said they would have skipped college in the first place if they'd known how expensive it would be in the end.
Oh, yeah. And a lot of folks who didn't graduate probably feel the same way, wishing they'd hadn't taken on this debt and then getting a degree that could lead to a better paying job because they're still, unfortunately, stuck with those payments. All right, Howard, well, you've come up with five ways that students and their parents can keep from drowning in student loan debt. So why don't you dive in?
Well, the first one, Rob, is to start preparing early.
Yeah.
Urge your high school-aged kids to take dual credit classes that will count toward college credit. I know of one couple's 17-year-old son, this is unbelievable, who graduated from high school having earned 90 college credit hours. So when he enrolled in college, he'd already completed the first 3 years of his college for free.
I love it, and we're experiencing it now. My oldest is headed off to college next year. He's going to start halfway through his sophomore year because of AP and dual enrollment. It's incredible. All right, Howard, what's next?
Another option is to enroll in the local community college the first 2 years to complete your general classes, or to work full-time and take online college classes, which are typically much less expensive.
Yeah, that is a great option folks need to look into, essentially killing two birds with one stone. So you're reducing the overall cost of college while working and saving for future college expenses. All right, how about number three?
Secure as many grants and scholarships as possible by investing the time to research every possible opportunity.
Yeah, my wife Julie is the poster child for that. Over $100,000 in scholarships coming out of a single family home. She was able to pay for college completely debt-free. It's a huge blessing. All right, Howard, another way to avoid student loan debt?
Well, encourage your children to work full-time during the summers and part-time at college after their first semester. You know, that first semester, they should focus on getting acclimated to the college routine, but after that, they can look for part-time jobs and then apply what they're earning toward their college costs.
All right, one last way to avoid student debt, Howard.
Well, this may be the most important one of all. Parents need to start saving early to help their kids to pay for college. And the 529 Education Saving Plan is a great way to do that. And you can encourage grandparents and other family members to contribute to it with cash gifts for Christmas and birthdays.
I love it. All right, that was five. Does that round us out?
Well, I do have a bonus suggestion.
Okay.
And I can't stress this one enough. Don't co-sign for your children's student loans or take out any loans yourselves.
All right, great advice, Howard. Always appreciate you stopping by, my friend. God bless you.
My pleasure. Love the time, Rob.
All right. Folks, I hope that was an encouragement to you. I know it was to me. You can do this. You can pay for college without going into debt. You may have to get creative and plan ahead. That was Howard Dayton, founder of Compass Finances God's Way. You can read more of his wisdom at compass1.org. All right, your calls are next. 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. If you ever played sports growing up, you know that some of the most challenging moments for any team is at the very beginning of the season. Conditioning, the team sprints, the back and forths, the hill climbs, push-ups over and over, getting your body into shape so that you're ready to compete. There's a glory there. Undergoing tremendous stress with an ultimate goal in mind, understanding that it is the stress itself that's preparing you for something greater. Here's how Paul put it: our light, momentary affliction works for us more and more, an exceeding weight of glory. We all suffer, but in Christ our suffering is paving the path for all of us to glory. Spend more time with Jesus. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
The loss of a child through an abortion affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming, but there is hope and healing in the aftermath. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who has been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance Program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. If money is a tool, we can love God and love people with the use of His resources. We've got to hold it loosely and give it generously. We're so delighted you're along with us today. We want to help you be wise stewards, faithful stewards of God's resources as you tune into this program every day, to be an encouragement to you, to help you see the wisdom, the timeless principles found in the Bible, so we can not only provide for ourselves, but bless those on our path, those that perhaps may be in need, others, great work being done in the name of Jesus. Whatever it might be, we want to help you do that today and address those pressing financial questions you have right now about your long-term savings, about your investments. Maybe it's paying down debt. Whatever it might be, we'd love to hear from you. We've got some lines open today with your calls. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a testimony today, perhaps you've seen the principles found in God's Word applied to your financial life, allow you to get to a place where you're living in freedom with contentment and peace of mind. You'd like to share that with us today. We'd love to hear that
as well. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's begin in Missouri. Hi, Michael. You're our first caller, sir. Go ahead.
Hi, and thanks for having me on the, your show.
Yes, sir.
And my question is, yesterday I went through the drive-thru at my bank, and I was trying to get some paper money broken down into smaller amounts, coins and ones.
Yes, sir.
And I know I sent in $45. I asked for 30 ones and a roll of nickels and a roll of dimes and a roll of quarters. Well, she sent it back out, and I drove off not checking it, and I noticed that she'd only give me 10 ones rather than 30 ones. So I swung back around, asked her to correct it. She said the mistake was on my part, and I'm positive it was not. I know that I sent in $45. My question is, do I just chalk it up as lesson learned, or should I go above and complain, and, you know, how can we avoid these situations in the future?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I can certainly appreciate the dilemma, and I know you want to do the right thing here, and I'm not sure there is a right or wrong response necessarily. I think if it were me, I think I would probably just let it go. I'm not saying $20 is an insignificant amount of money, but, it is $20. And so, I would probably not complain to a manager just because it could have been an honest mistake, and the manager may not see it that way. So I think, if that's what we're talking about here, I'd probably just, chalk it up to a situation where she was just made an honest mistake, not exercising, careful work, or, if in fact she did something, with ill intent, that, God would convict her of that. And perhaps it would be something that would be a learning experience. So, I think you could go either way. What is your sense, Michael, as you think about this? What has overnight, what has the Lord been leading you to do?
Well, I think it goes along with what you're saying, to let it go. Yeah. I think I may, move my account somewhere else. And the thing about it is, I moved my checking account to this bank because it gave such great customer service.
Yeah.
The only other thing I've got to say is, as I've been thinking about it, is how to avoid this. And I think that had I said I'm sending in $45 and I want this amount back, well, I didn't mention the $45. I told them what I wanted back, but didn't tell them how much I was sending in.
Yes.
So that should have cleared it up right there.
Yeah, that's true. And I think perhaps, if this is a brick and mortar bank, obviously, although it'd take a few extra steps, you could walk inside, and that way you're laying it down on the counter, kind of everybody sees what's being handed over, as opposed to sticking it in a drawer and it goes away and then they're just telling you what they got on the other end. So I think obviously that could be a further help. If you're not trying to get the kind of divisibility you were looking for, you could use an ATM and take the human interaction piece out of it, but that's not going to allow you to get 30 ones out, so I realize you're going to need to either go through the drive-through or go inside. So I think perhaps it's just an honest mistake, given how much of a hassle it will be, Michael, to move this account to yet somebody else and kind of start over with a new account number and all that's involved in that. I might just, wait and see if this was an isolated mistake that doesn't get repeated. Maybe be a little more careful in the future, and maybe go inside just so you can look somebody in the eyes and make sure that what's being done is exactly right. Check it before you walk out, obviously, because that's going to help if you're standing right there and there is a mistake. But usually these things are prevented because they have bill counters and so forth, plus their drawer has to square up with the numbers. And so there's a lot of safeguards in place, but that doesn't mean mistakes can't happen. And clearly it sounds like one did in this case. So I'd probably let it go. If it were me, I think I'd keep my relationship there if this was the only thing you don't like, and just be more careful in the future. But you're the steward of this money. So if you decide that, I'd feel better going somewhere else, I would certainly understand that.
Okay. Thank you for your advice. It's been very good help.
Awesome, Michael. Well, thank you for calling, sir. We appreciate you, and thanks for listening to the program. I'm glad you thought of us first when you had a question. I'd love to talk to you again in the future. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Again, that's 800-525-7000 with whatever is on your financial mind today. Before we head back to the phones, and by the way, we have two lines open, so perhaps one for the question you're thinking about. Let's take an email. These come into us all the time at askrob@faithfi.com. That's askrob@faithfi.com. This comes to us from Victor. He says, once I've paid off the balance on a credit card, should I cancel the account? I have 5 credit cards and I'm paying them off one at a time. Thank you and God bless. And Victor, first of all, way to go. I love the fact that you're paying these off. Sounds like you're using the snowball method where you're hopefully paying them off one at a time, smallest to largest balance. That's going to give you that incentive to keep going. I do like the idea of you reducing the total number of cards that are open, because that's going to reduce the possibility of identity theft and give you perhaps just take away the ability to or the need to oversee all of these accounts, because even if you're not using them, you want to make sure there's not any fraudulent purposes. Here's what I would do, though. I would do this on a staggered basis. So I'd only close 1 or 2 every 6 months. So perhaps as you pay them off, if you pay off 1 or 2 quickly, maybe you go ahead and close those. But then I'd wait as you're focusing on another card. Even if you get it paid off quicker, I'd probably leave it open for 6 months or so. That will minimize the negative impact on your credit score. If you are about to buy a house or a car, you're going to be out there seeking credit, I would probably not close any of them, because even a drop of a few points could drop you into a lower tier, a lower range of scores that could result in you getting a higher interest rate or not as favorable terms on the loan you're seeking. But if you're not out there looking for new credit, you're not buying a house, you're not buying a car, then I'd go ahead and close up to 2 and then wait 6 months and do it again. I think that will help you make sure that you are minimizing the impact on your credit score. By the way, that will come back pretty quickly, especially as you're an on-time payer. One of the only challenges you'll find, and I'm not saying that this should cause you to do anything different at all, is as you pay off credit, and if you don't have an open revolving account any longer, what you will find is that lack of credit will actually hurt you over time. It's just one of the ways that the system kind of works against responsible financial behavior. Again, I wouldn't worry about it. The only thing you might do is keep one account open with a budgeted item every month that you can pay off in full, so you can keep that on-time payment history being reported. We'll be right back. Stay with us. More to come right after this.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA upholds the truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are worthy of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
We are grateful for support from LitePoint Portfolios, which seeks out family and faith-friendly investments for 401k and 403b plans, integrating faith values and fiduciary duty. LitePoint Portfolios offers retirement plans for a variety of organizations, such as businesses, nonprofits, and churches, and we're grateful for their sponsorship of the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at lightpointportfolios.com.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
Director of the AFA Foundation, Riley Wildman, Here in the Foundation, we help families just like yours to shore up permanent income for their retirement years through our charitable gift annuities.
Riley has served as the director of the AFA Foundation for over a decade.
Give us a call today at 800-326-4543. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
The AFA Foundation, the Financial Stewardship Division of the American Family Association.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. It sounds like Michael's got some advice coming his way, which we love if you have some counsel for Michael on how to handle this potential mistake that a teller made yesterday. Let us know. Sharon, I understand you were a teller for 42 years. You got probably a pretty good insight into how he should think about this. What do you have to say?
Well, I wasn't actually a teller that long. I was a teller for 20, but okay. I was in loans also. But what she should have done, she made the mistake. You always leave your money laying out what they give you. She got it right there on her counter to look at. And she should have shown him what she got. And if that didn't work also, she balances that drawer every day. And if she's $20 over, then all he had to go back to the bank and ask and tell who waited on him and for her to, you know, when she balances, if she's over $20, he would like to be notified because he knows what he gave her. And like I said, she should have proof of it right there to show him. She should never lay her money up until, and she should have said to him, sir, this is what I received.
I think the only issue here in this case is he went through the drive-through. He actually pulled away and then circled back. So even if she had it on the counter, by that time, it had already been put into the drawer. But you're right. I think that reconciliation, you know, should show that. And perhaps that's the other option, is to go back and just say, you know, listen, here was what I thought I gave. Obviously, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty confident I did. Would you mind just checking the reconciliation? And that way, you know, he's not accusing her of anything nefarious, but there is an opportunity for him to be notified. That's great advice, Sharon. Grace is calling with a similar thought. It sounds like you had the same situation there in Ohio. Grace, go ahead.
I did. Hi, and I'm a first-time caller. So, yeah, when I heard him speaking, I thought, oh, that happened to me. So what had happened was the teller had shortchanged me, and I told her she had shortchanged me. I didn't walk away. But what she told me was that at the end of the day, they would balance her drawer, and that if they were over, then she would call me, and then they would give me the money. And that's exactly what happened, because I heard him say he was questioning customer service. And a lot of times they do make, you know, slight errors. And, you know, if the teller is honest, you know, he should get that money back. But I wouldn't just let him have it, if, you know, because the drawer probably will be, you know, cut at the end of the day. It'll be balanced.
Yeah. So it sounds like the consensus here is to go back, you know, use the love of Christ in your approach, but to also say, hey, if you don't mind checking that reconciliation, if you find that you were $20 off, I think I know where that goes. That's probably coming my way. Grace, thank you for calling. Appreciate you listening to the program and for weighing in today. We're grateful. All right. Well, Michael, you got some great advice there. So hopefully that helps you close this out. By the way, let us know how it turns out. I'd love to hear. 800-525-7000. We've got a few lines open today here on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Let's head to Illinois. Hi, Teresa. How can I help you with your home purchase?
Mister, I called last week and I told you my husband and I were looking to sell our home and move into town. And we had assurance from our financial advisor what we could go over and beyond, and plus the sale of our house. And so I've been advised from a couple of people at our church who done what's called the bridge method, where let's say you find a property that you just love and our home is paid. And they said, like, put maybe $100,000 down on it and then wait until your home sells to continue the rest of the purchase by, you know, paying off, buying the new house with the remainder of what your house sells. Do you think that's a good approach? If I just don't want to get stuck with having to move twice or double payments. I mean, my home is paid, but you know what I mean. Not double payments, but
I do. Yes, ma'am.
Taxes on that, or what do you think of that?
Sure. Well, it's a great question. A bridge loan is simply a short-term loan that's bridging the gap between buying a home and selling your previous one. So in this case, if you want to be able to buy before you sell, meaning you don't have the proceeds from the sale to apply to the new home's down payment or purchase, obviously that can be challenging if you're depending upon that money. And so you can get that bridge loan to help you finance the purchase. But since you haven't landed on a decision for your next house, I don't see why you would need a bridge loan at this point. The safest way to make this transition is to sell your home first and then try to get a reasonable closing date to give you enough time to put a contract on another home and just coordinate it that way. You know, the bridge loan, of course, is temporary. So if you use one to buy your next home and you can't sell your first, then you're stuck. Those bridge loans do typically have higher interest rates. They're usually more money out of pocket as a homeowner. And so, you know, you have two mortgage fees and it can be hard to qualify if your finances don't meet the lender's requirements. So I would go into this trying to, and let's make this a matter of prayer, invite God into your financial life, Teresa, but I would go into this trying to get a contract on your current home and then work with them to get some favorable closing terms that would allow you to be able to go out and find that next home, which you have not done yet, correct? You don't know where you're moving?
No. And like I said, we would have $100 to put down. Yeah. But I kind of feel like you do. But I just had a couple of people at church that have done that. You know, if you saw one that you just really loved. But, you know, I'm a little nervous about that.
I don't want you to get stuck with one. I mean, fortunately, homes aren't staying on the market long. You know, even though we're not in the red hot seller's market we were 6 months ago, homes are still moving. And if you price it right, you should get it sold, you know, in a matter of days or weeks at the most. But I don't think there's any need to look into a bridge loan at this point. Let's get that home ready, staged, you know, get the curb appeal right, get a realtor in there to help you price it right. And then let's put it on the market and get, you know, some competing bids coming in. Let's negotiate some favorable terms and give you time to go find that next house. If you have other questions along the way, Martha, Teresa, don't hesitate to reach out to us. And thank you for calling today. This is Faith and Finance. We'll be right back. Stay with us. More to come.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. See, we don't have to engage in psychological brainwashing techniques and all this nonsense that the left traffics in because they're godless. For the most part, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. That's how we fight.
Tune in to The Awakening, weekdays at noon Central on American Family Radio.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Absolutely free.
We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
Friendships is offering an exciting opportunity for young adults who want to grow in their walk with God, become physically fit, and learn relief ministry while serving in the Middle East. This is an amazing opportunity to serve God and experience Israel. Check out Seahawk's one-year scholarship program at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022. That's 337-433-5022. The next session begins August 19th.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Delighted to have you with us today. You know, we were all created in the image of God with value and worth, and we take that and we recognize that God is the ultimate giver. Well, we're most like him then when we're giving. I like to say that giving breaks the power of money over our lives. So we want to hold God's money loosely so we can give it generously. And when we do, we experience joy and contentment and peace of mind that I believe we can't find anywhere else. You know, all of God's provision was not intended to stop with us. We're not to be a reservoir. I believe we're to be a pipeline into God's activity. And the only way we can do that is if we order our finances in such a way that we're living within our means and setting long-term goals, and we have some margin, and we know what our values and priorities are so we can align our spending with that, and then ultimately give generously to meet the needs of the people on our path, to support the work of our local church, and just to be able to partner with God in some incredible ministries and endeavors around the world. I think that's the ultimate purpose of God's resources while we're here on earth. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We've got two lines open today. We'd love to hear from you. Let's talk to Martha. You'll be our next caller. Go right ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for the call. So
yes, ma'am.
I am calling because my husband, Tim, and I recently sold our family business, and God was very, very blessed us through that whole process. And we are building a new home. We are in our current home, which we will sell when the new home is ready. My question is it wise to pay cash for our new home? Or is it better to put that money into the market and see what it can do and grow, and then use the proceeds from our current house when it sells to pay for part of the new house and then take out a mortgage for the rest, which I know is crazy with mortgage rates, but
yeah.
You hear about people getting ahead in a down market, and we've tithed, we've given, so question about that.
Yeah, it's a great question. I've got a few for you, and then perhaps we can talk about where you go from here. Apart from the proceeds of this home sale, what other long-term savings do you have, Martha? Are you all regularly putting away into retirement accounts? And if so, do you feel like you're on track for what you're going to need in that season of life to supplement, let's say, Social Security or any other guaranteed income sources?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We're set up pretty well for the future. We're not counting on Social Security or anything, but based on our 401ks and IRAs and investments, we've got about $700,000.
Yeah.
Okay. With that, but
very
obviously
good.
We'll lose some with the markets.
Yeah. So total about $700,000 in investable assets. Is that for retirement?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And what do you feel like you're going to need per month or per year in retirement to fund your lifestyle? How much?
Well, if we didn't have a mortgage, you know, probably around $8,000, which is high. And, you know, we try to be a little bit conservative. So
okay.
High. Eight. Yeah.
Yeah. So the only thing I would say there is, I mean, typically we would look at about a 4% withdrawal rate to be able to maintain that principal balance. You know, that's not a, there's no magic in that. That just comes from a study that was done by a guy named, last name Bingen, a while ago. And that's kind of the number that most advisors use to say, okay, once you reach retirement, we're still going to, leave some allocation to stocks to keep the growth component going. We're going to move to a larger percentage in bonds and fixed income type investments, which are typically, this last year was an anomaly because of how fast the Fed raised interest rates. But typically bonds are more stable. They provide a good income base. And the combination of those two should allow you to pull 4% a year and always maintain that balance of, in this case, $700,000. Well, at 4% a year, that's only $28,000 a year. And you all need, it sounds like, maybe closer to $100,000 a year. So if you're not counting on Social Security, were there other, do you have a pension or other retirement assets that you would be looking to pull from? Or were you looking to pull 100% of that $8,000 a month from the $700,000?
A few other small accounts, a few other retirement accounts that are not worth a whole lot.
Okay. Yeah. Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I do think it probably is wise to continue to build wealth. How far out from retirement are you all?
We've got about 20 years left. I'm not working full time. My husband will work 20 years. Yeah. He's in his mid 50s. He'll work for a long time.
Okay. Excellent. So obviously you've got time on your side to continue to build this. As you all talk through it, Martha, you and your husband, you know, whether it's a casual conversation or you set aside some time just to kind of say, where do we go from here? What's your sense between the two of you, and maybe one has a stronger opinion about this than the other, just about your desire to be debt free and the peace of mind that would come with that, even if you were to, you know, give up some return on that money over a period of time? Is that something that's really important to one or both of you?
I think it used to be. I think I'm learning that you can make your dollars work for you. We're very disciplined. My husband's got a very good income. So the thought process is if we use that money in the market to grow and we can still afford a mortgage with, you know, our jobs, is that smart?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. You know, I think it can be. I mean, I think that's the key. So if you were to, with this house that you're purchasing, once that previous home is sold, and let's say you were to take 100% of that and plow it back into this house, what size mortgage would you end up with?
Well, the problem is we're looking to build, the house that we're looking to do is build, and it's about double the cost of what we're in now. We would be looking to probably still having to float quite a hefty mortgage, probably around $800,000, even after we sell our current house, put it into the new house. It's kind of a dream retirement home.
Yeah. And so even if you were to put 100% of what you have from the home sale, you'd still have $800,000. All right. What did you end up with from the proceeds of the business sale?
Probably when all is shakes and downs, just a little over 1.6.
Okay. And so the 1.6 is separate from the $700,000 in retirement assets?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Yeah.
And I realize this is a really good problem to have. Like I said,
I get it.
I just want to be a really good steward.
Sure.
Of this,
yeah. Right. So if you were to buy this home free and clear or pay to build this home free and clear, you'd still have potentially $600,000-$700,000 left in addition to the retirement assets that you have in your 401k?
Probably not quite that much, when just being realistic with housing costs and all that.
Sure. But maybe half a million.
I think the way we're looking at it is maybe not even that much.
Okay.
I think we're being realistic and looking at, we're either going to plunk this all into the house or part of it or invest.
Okay. So here's my take on it. I mean, I think given everything I'm hearing, you all have still a great income. You've got 20 years left to build wealth. You'd still have, let's say, $200,000-$400,000 left out of the proceeds of this on top of your 401ks and retirement assets, which are going to continue to grow for the next 20 years. You're living modestly. You're going to build your dream house, but that's okay because you've been wise in how you've handled your money that God has entrusted to you. And sounds like you've lived modestly and you've saved diligently and you're debt free. I personally, and I don't think there's a right or wrong decision here, but I think just given where interest rates are today and how high they are, and given that you have this money, I think for me, I'd just go ahead and pay cash for this house and be done with it. Own it free and clear. Still add, you know, $300,000-$400,000 to your liquid assets. Get that invested. Get an advisor if you don't have one. And you could find a certified Kingdom advisor on our website at faithfi.com. If you don't have one, if you do, great. But I think for me, just given everything I'm hearing, I don't think this is a time to take on a huge mortgage at a high interest rate when you've got the money to pay for it. And that's just going to free up even more cash flow on a monthly basis. I've got to hit a break, but you and I will talk a little bit more off the air, and I appreciate your call very much, Martha. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance. Stay with us.
Weekday mornings at 8 Central, Pastor Jeff Shreve offers real truth for today.
I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries.
The world around us is rapidly changing, but God and His truth will never change.
I may be the host of the show, but I want God's Word and His truth to be the star of the show.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve each weekday morning at 8 Central for Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio. Jenna Ellis in the morning.
You need to be very concerned about what your children are being exposed to if they go to a public school or even if they go to a Christian school. Parents are not just allowed, they have a constitutionally protected fundamental right that is God-given to direct the education, well-being, and faith options of their children.
Jenna Ellis in the morning, weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
Have you downloaded the FaithFi app yet? You need to do that today, because this is going to make your life easier. Yes, you can manage your money through the in-app envelope feature, but also plan out future goals. I want to buy a house in 5 years, and I'm on track to do that. Here's also what I like. You can connect with people around the country. It's like social media, but better. Ask a question, get an answer, and share what you're learning about money and investing. So why don't you grab your phone right now and download the FaithFi app?
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
God owns it all. We're stewards. So money's now a tool to accomplish God's purposes, to live generously, to meet the needs of our family, and build experiences and memories, and really use it for God's purposes at the end of the day. And that's what we want to do here on this program, encourage you and celebrate God's faithfulness in your life. I had an opportunity to talk to Martha a bit more off the air, and you know, she was sensing that same thing, that perhaps we ought to just pay cash. Her husband, a little more inclined to take advantage of this market. What we talked about is the fact that, you know, just given the challenges we have in this country, we're probably entering a season here, and obviously nobody knows for sure, where we're not just going to repeat that raging bull market of the last dozen years, you know, ending 12 months ago. We're probably going to be in more of a sideways single-digit growth market for the foreseeable future, just given that we're probably going to see the economy growing at a slower pace. We're likely going to be facing higher tax rates, just based on what the current administration is talking about in the foreseeable future. We've got inflation that's going to be difficult to wrangle, although we will. And so if you've got money in a taxable account, you know, you've got at a 6.5% mortgage interest rate, you're going to have to make probably 8 at a minimum percent return just to pay the interest on the mortgage. And the idea that you can make, you know, on average, you know, 10-11% to have enough to justify, you know, still carrying a massive mortgage of $800,000 is probably not likely. So what an opportunity, at least right now. And you could always decide to pull that money out later if you wanted to, right now, just to own that home free and clear and focus on building the other assets that you have, specifically those assets inside that tax-deferred environment. So Martha and her husband are going to continue to pray about it. Obviously, there's not a right or wrong decision here. It's ultimately one I think you have to just ask before the Lord and move forward based on the conviction that he gives you. All right, 800-525-7000. We'll get to as many calls as we can between now and the end of the program. Let's head to Texas. Hi, James. How can I help you, sir?
Hello. How's it going?
Hope doing great. Doing well. Thanks for your call.
Yeah, that's good. Okay. I had a question about my recent IRS trying to claim them. I had some years that I didn't get to get claimed. I was in an accident and set a lot of things off. Anyway, I'm trying to get back on track. I did get in touch with IRS, and they sent me out those W-2s for the past years that weren't claimed. But my question is should I, or I'm looking for a good CPA in the Texas area, Dallas area. And I just wanted to get your input on that, if I should do it all together, or do I have to do it separately for each year?
Yeah, you will have to do this individually, James, for each year. You'll simply file amended returns for those years, and if you have the ability to pay, then you'll just pay at that time. There's going to be some interest and penalties associated with that. If you don't, then you'd work on an installment plan would be the most likely outcome, to get an agreed-upon installment plan with the IRS to pay back those taxes for the income you didn't recognize, which they're aware of, because they would have received the W-2s that you did as well. I would find a tax professional to help you navigate this. If you want to reach out to a certified Kingdom advisor on our website, you can do that at faithfi.com, faithfi.com. Just click find a CKA and you can ask for a referral to a godly CPA. But I would get some professional help so you can handle this properly, get those amended correctly, calculate any interest or penalties. And then again, if you can write that check, great. If you can't, they can also help you negotiate that installment plan. Does that make sense?
All right. Yes, sir. That sure sounds great. And I just wanted to let you listeners know that no matter what season you're in, God's in control, and we're going to get through this. So God bless you guys.
Yeah, what an encouragement. Thanks for that. We appreciate that word of encouragement, James. God bless you, my friend. To Indiana. Hi, Gloria. You're an ex-caller. Go ahead.
All right. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I am 76. My husband is 83. This is a second marriage. We've been married for 21 years. We have taken on more of a mine yours mentality. And so that has we've not been obedient, but we're trying to become more obedient to God and what he would have us to do. So here's the deal. I've been operating my own business for a lengthy amount of time, at least 25 years, and I do have about $30,000 left in my business account. I'm getting ready to close the business down because of health issues. And my husband is still working part-time. He has retired from his regular job. He's working part-time. And so we were just wondering, since we're trying really hard to be more obedient and combine our incomes, the money that's left in that business account, what should be done with that?
Yeah. Well, do you have any outstanding obligations in the business? I mean, normally you would go ahead and settle any open accounts, any accounts payable, anything that you have there, and then you'd close the accounts, you'd file a final return and related forms, pay any taxes you owe, report payments to contract workers, and then you could cancel your EIN, your employee identification number, and close your IRS business account. And then, of course, you'd want to keep all of those records for documentation purposes. And then, you know, that the cash on hand, you could, you know, pull out of the business and use for whatever purpose you want.
Okay. Well, actually, all of that has been dealt with. The only thing I was still thinking about is I would like to just work part-time, like a couple of days a week type thing. And I'm in a position where I could do that, but I didn't want to have to draw down on that account as far as that goes, and I don't think that I would really need to.
Okay.
However, that money is sitting there not doing anything, and I just I thought, well, maybe I should put that into some savings bonds or CDs.
Sure.
Or yeah. Something like that.
Is this a sole proprietor business, and have you been filing a Schedule C? Okay, yeah, great. So there's nothing you need to do with regard to reporting, closing your business with regard to those funds. If you transfer those into your personal account, that's completely fine. If you want to continue operating out of that business for this part-time work, would it be done under the name of that sole proprietor business you had been using? Okay. Yeah, so there may be a reason why you'd want to leave that there. And then I think at that point, you'd just be looking for, a business savings account that could give you a bit of a higher yield. And you could go to nerdwallet.com or bankrate.com and find, the best high yield savings account for businesses. I mean, you'll find that some of them are paying upwards of 3.5% right now. So at least you'd be getting a little bit of interest on that money while you're waiting, but it would be there in liquid if you're going to continue to operate even on a limited basis, give you the ability to have liquid, cash available for whatever purposes you need. But I would look at NerdWallet or Bankrate just to find who has the best high yield business savings account with FDIC insurance.
Spell the name of that place, please.
Yeah, it's a website that basically just evaluates all of the business savings accounts and other accounts.
Okay.
But one of them is Nerd. It's kind of a silly name. Nerdwallet.com. Okay. And the other is Bankrate.com. Either of those could allow you to search for high yield business accounts and tell you who has the best options.
Okay. That sounds like a great idea, and we are regular listeners, and we love to listen to you. I'm a former Dan Celia fan, and I missed him terribly. And now, because for selfish reasons, of course, because I love to listen to him, but I'm liking you as well.
Well, thank you. I'm delighted, and I didn't know Dan personally, but just by way of so many that know him and loved him, I have great respect for the work that he did. So I appreciate you being a part of the program today, and we would love to hear from you again in the future. Let's finish up today in Oregon. Jane, you want to follow up on Michael's call from the very beginning of the program regarding his teller confusion. What do you have to share with us today?
This was just an odd thing, and I don't know how many times something like this would happen. But back in the 70s, I was in my 20s, and a couple of my other girlfriends were in the same bank. It was a smallish bank. Anyway, one time, all three of us had $100 missing out of our accounts.
Hmm.
I was the only one who kept my bank account records.
Yeah.
So I got my money back, but they did not.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that just underscores the importance, Jane, of keeping good records and staying on top of things. No institution is beyond making an error, even now that computers are dominating our financial transactions, and it seems like everything is online. Obviously, that was a different era than today, so we've got more visibility into all of that, but it just, I think, underscores the need for us to stay on top of things. Balancing, this is kind of a lost art, still balancing our checkbooks, making sure that the numbers are accurate, monitoring our other financial accounts like credit card accounts and others just to make sure the account is right, because you can't do anything without proper documentation. And that was clearly the case in your situation, where you were able to be restored fully and they were not. So I think that's a good reminder today and a great place for us to finish the program. Jane, thank you for being a part of the program today. We appreciate you calling. Well, folks, that's going to do it for us. Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. On behalf of my team, Pat Montague, Devin Patrick, and Jim Henry, I want to say thanks for joining us today. I hope you have a great rest of your day. Go out and live for Jesus, manage his money wisely as a faithful steward, and look to his word for the timeless, transcendent principles that are always right, they're always relevant, and they're never going to change. You can renew your mind in God's word and find truth And we hope that we were an encouragement to you along the way today. Hey, if we can help you, check out our website at faithfi.com. You can give to support the ministry. You can also check out the Faith Fi app while you're there. Again, faithfi.com. In the meantime, have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.